This is a production of Cornell University.
Hello and welcome to the Cornell Turfgrass Shortcut Podcast, your weekly connection to turfgrass information, brought to you by the Cornell University Turfgrass Program in partnership with the New York State Turfgrass Association. My name is Frank Rossi. I'm an associate professor of horticulture here at the New York State College of Agriculture and Life Sciences at Cornell University, and the following are observations and recommendations for the week of September 28th, 2009. Rainy weather will likely aid many dry areas, and now would still be a good time to make a half or one-third pound application of nitrogen to take advantage of ideal cool season grass weather. At the same time, we are slowly approaching the outer window of seeding areas in upstate New York, and now with the expected rain might be an ideal time to make this happen. Check the last few shortcuts for info on the benefits of soil modification with compost. Watch out for severe late-season dollar spot following the dry weather, and consider key cultural practices with any chemical control. And of course, we have several weed control recommendations this week, from fountain grass escapes to broadleaves. The forecast from the forecast information from the Northeast Climate Center: temperatures were close to normal for most of last week, yet west about 3 degrees above normal and east about 3 degrees below normal. So far, relative to degree days, we're still about 1.5 weeks behind last year, about 150 growing degree days that we will not likely achieve, even with slightly above normal temps expected to be in for the coming week, as we only accumulate between 10 to 15 degree days per day. It was dry, with almost all locations receiving less than a half inch. A large part of upstate New York and western Pennsylvania has seen less than a half inch of rain in September. Half to three quarters of an inch again for ET region wide. Soil temps are at the 2-inch depth, are highs in the mid-70s and lows in the 60s. The forecast is calling for dry weather to end with a showery week expected. Days will seem cool with upstate highs in the low 60s or upper 50s through Wednesday. Lows will remain well above normal in the 50 to 60 degree range with clouds and showers most of the week. The trough will move off the coast towards the middle of the week, bringing us back to a slightly above normal but dry pattern. The Cornell Cooperative Extension update this week begins with Dave Chinnery from the Capital District. Soils are very dry again. Crabgrass starting to peter out due to large part to the light frost we had one morning, but also maybe in part due to the drought. Very dry conditions may hinder some of the fall herbicide activity. One inquiry about rust on sports fields and concern about over-grooming synthetic turf, that is, running the various brushes too much, making the fields wear faster than normal. Westchester update, Jerry Giordano, Rick Harper. After a growing season characterized by few reports of hairy chinch bug damage on lawns, the Westchester Horticulture Lab has been flooded with reports of this pest in recent days from lawns around the county. Turf samples collected on a commercial site visit performed on a severely injured estate lawn in southern Westchester were so infested that the insects had crawled out of the samples and were found on surfaces in different parts of the hort office. Despite the overabundance of precipitation this year, the same lawn was receiving regular irrigation until July and also exhibited concurrent evidence of patch diseases. Japanese stiltgrass, Microstegium viminium, and nimblewill, Muhlenbergia schreberi, samples vigorous enough to fill a hanging basket were brought into the lab by a homeowner who reported both species having taken over most of his lawn. Another homeowner reported yellow wood sorrel or oxalis stricta in similar abundance on a lawn that had previously thinned out. From the commercial sector, earthworms have been observed in such high numbers on some lawns that turf was reportedly becoming spongy. While skunks were thought to have been damaging the lawns while looking for grubs, few to none have been found during sampling, indicating that earthworms were the draw for these animals. There's also been a report of tiny, white, thread-like worms in turf that are up to a quarter-inch long. We've not seen samples, but oligochaete worms are suspected. Crabgrass has begun to die out in local turf, and scattered drought stress has been observed on tough sites. Scarab grub reports remain only scattered. And again, an update about the Cornell Turfgrass Short Course this December. It's not the December of 2009. Don't skimp on your education in difficult economic times. And if you'd like more information about the Cornell Turfgrass Short Course, you can check out our Cornell Turfgrass website. The sports turf update this week from Joanne Grudadario starts with talking about sodding or seeding. Sodding: if you want a Kentucky bluegrass field ready for use next spring and need turf cover for bare areas, your best option may be to sod now. Start with good soil preparation practices. Till up to 4 to 6 inches, rake and level the goal mouth area. Be sure the area is prepared before the sod arrives. Select good quality, thin-cut sod that was grown in soil similar to the existing soil. Lightly moisten the soil if the soil is dry at the time of sodding. The sod should be placed in a brick-like pattern, staggered to the edges and do not line up. Minimize the number of edges that are exposed that could lead to desiccation. A light rolling could be helpful at this time to eliminate any air pockets. Watering is key now and important to promote rooting. Be sure the watering has gone deeper than just the surface and has thoroughly wetted the underlying soil. Keep the soil moist and periodically check on sod to see how it's rooting. Avoid traffic until the sod is rooted, which ensures seed germination. This could mean daily and seedling establishment, but do not overwater. This could take a week or so. To avoid layering problems, once the turf is rooted, core cultivate and remove the cores. Mowing can begin once the area is firm enough to handle traffic. A light application of nitrogen or half a pound of N per thousand may be beneficial. Three to four weeks after the sod has been laid. If we have winter with extended periods of cold temperatures and dry winds, there's a risk of desiccation, so watering may be necessary. Seeding fields. It's getting late to seed Kentucky bluegrass because it's slow to germinate and establish. So if you're looking for turf cover now, you'll have to go with perennial ryegrass. Although it's quick to germinate, it does need time to establish before the colder weather sets in and frost is likely. Some tips for seeding now. Seed at higher rates, 6 pounds per thousand. Consider slit seeding to maximize soil seed contact. Fertilize with adequate nitrogen, as new studies indicate P less critical than once thought. Make sure that you water enough to ensure seedling establishment, but do not overwater, and this could take a week or so. The Gazing in the Grass article this week starts with a fall dollar spot discussion. The dry period will undoubtedly lead to significant dollar spot pressure this week. The risk models we publish at the forecast website, www.nrcc.cornell.edu/grass, indicate conditions will be favorable for high risk of dollar spot. Research we have conducted over the last several years indicates that dollar spot is increasing later in the fall than in the past. In fact, additional studies from other land grant scientists indicate that the dollar spot in the fall is a very different type than we see during the season. For example, it's resistant to thiophanate methyl. In addition, it seems to be more damaging to the entire plant at this time of year than the in-season type. We often observe severe pitting of the turf that on a putting surface will significantly alter ball roll. Of course, while there are a variety of fungicides available that will provide effective control, several key cultural practices are worth noting. Keep up with your regular rolling of putting surfaces, as studies consistently show rolling reduces incidence. Next, mow early. With reduced labor resources at this time, it might be hard to keep up with early AM mowing, and yet the longer the leaf blades stay wet, the worse the dollar spot. Regular end fertility may not help with incidence of disease, but may reduce severity that will help plants grow out of the problem faster. Finally, if needing to use a fungicide, some softer materials such as low rates of propiconazole, tank mix with Civitas, EcoGuard, and Emerald. All will provide excellent control and have significantly lower environmental impact when compared to chlorothalonil. Fountain grass escapes in lawn. Fountain grass and other ornamental grasses have added tremendously to landscapes of homes, commercial sites, and golf courses. However, we're now seeing some of these grasses escape from the ornamental bed into the turf. One in particular is fountain grass, Pennisetum species, because it produces viable seeds which blow into surrounding turf and may germinate. We are unsure of the winter survival of fountain grass at lawn or rough heights, but at least some of the clumps survive winters in the central part of the U.S. Though most of the ornamental grasses cannot withstand lawn or rough height mowing, fountain grass can. Fountain grass has a tough blade with shreds when mowed, creating a whitish clump similar to the old Linn perennial ryegrass when mowed. It's starting to turn off color as warm season grass right now and becoming more obvious. Glyphosate, wick applied, will work and should still work in September as long as the fountain grass is still green and growing. Additionally, digging individual plants would also work with only a few plants in the landscape. If you're considering late fall applications of pre-emergence, many lawn care providers utilize this practice to reduce the need for early spring clients visits to clients. This also allows for the elimination of early spring weed and feed applications that are often associated with excessive clipping growth in the spring. Recommendations are for using products such as Barricade that has a zero breakdown when soil temperatures are below 50 degrees. Fall broadleaf weed control. Weed control in late September, early October, 2 weeks before the leaves fall off the trees, is clearly the most effective time for applying two- or three-way herbicide combinations. In fact, studies have shown that this time of year is three times more effective than any other time for both level of control and spectrum of weeds. For example, if you can get 90% control or better of ground ivy with any of the combination products when applied at this time. Evapotranspiration and turfgrass fertility. The cool weather will continue to slow growth, but more importantly, as days get shorter and solar radiation is reduced, ET is reduced. Regular evapotranspiration and water movement through the plant and soil is required for nitrogen uptake by the grasses. Consider making N applications of less than 1 pound per thousand, especially if rainfall is expected in larger amounts. Thank you for joining me this week for the weekly installment of the Cornell Turfgrass Shortcut Podcast, your weekly connection to turfgrass information. I'm Frank Rossi, Associate Professor of Turfgrass Science here in the Department of Horticulture at Cornell University, and I hope you have a great week.
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.